with this heart open wide, from the depths, from the heights, I will bring a sacrifice. With these hands lifted high, hear my song, hear my cry, I will bring a sacrifice.
I hope that's true of your heart today. that no matter what you're facing, that you would surrender to whatever God would have for you. You know, there comes a point in our Christian walk, and I hope it's always sooner than later, where we can trust him regardless. And, you know, that's a scary, incredibly hard thing to do. But if we could understand that our lives are in his hand, and come what may, he is a good dad. He knows the plan, that he sees the way through, and we would just trust him. That would be such a beautiful thing. And we get there only after we continue to see the incredible reasons we have to bless his name. Amen? How many of you would confess this morning that God has moved mountain after mountain in your life? Look around. Look around. It's beautiful, right? Let's sing 10,000 reasons to bless the Lord. Let's sing them out. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his soul. Your name is great and your heart. God bless you guys. How's everybody doing? Woo! Really? I'm doing okay. Some of you don't know this. I took my dog for a walk last Sunday, and I notoriously have bad ankles and bad shoulders from hockey. Well, apparently I've hit an age that when I'm walking the dog, I need to really not talk to anybody but only focus on every step because I hit a hole with a little bit of ice, and my ankle popped out. Which, if you've ever felt that, it's not a happy thing. Then I fell so that my ankle wouldn't break. And when I hit the ground, because I had a 40-pound dog in my hand, I pulled my shoulder forward just in time to hit my elbow and pop my shoulder out of joint. So there I was on the ground, not feeling really good about life in general, and Allison said, "What can I do?" Unfortunately, neither of us had a cell phone, so we were stranded on the side of the road. So I said, "I need to get up." And I said, "Take the dog." She took the dog. I kind of did it in that tone, which wasn't real nice in hindsight. I got up, and she said, "Is it broken?" And I said, "Well, apparently not, because I got up, and I popped my shoulder back into joint, which I've come accustomed to do. But unfortunately, my walk back was not nearly as pleasant as my walk to where we turned around. We just turned around, so I was at the furthest most part from my home. So anyway, I've been battling that all this week, and I'm praising the Lord that nothing has been broken. Has it been sore. I was actually bragging to Kirtland the other day. I can now put my hand up above my head. I couldn't do that, and I was so excited yesterday. I went, "Look at this!" And he was like, "You dummy." But then when I went to put it down, oh, please don't do it. Oh, there. When I went to put it down, it clicked out of place and back in, and it put me on my knees, and I was almost crying. And he thought that was very humorous, but anyway. So anyway, be careful out there. There's a storm coming. My dog is not going for a walk. So know your limitations. I've hit that age where I need to be really, really careful about, you know, walking and things like that. Anyway, welcome to church. It's kind of been a tradition that we talk a little bit about love come the month of February. And because we finished up Romans, and Phil has been asking me, NASCAR is starting soon. It's the only sport I watch. It's been so long since you've done a NASCAR series. I'm thinking about talking a little bit about NASCAR next week, and you may say, "Oh, that's not my thing." Please, just bear with us if NASCAR is not your thing. I could say this, that Kirtland, one of his first events that he came to the church was a NASCAR event. 2006, and here he is today, and do we feel blessed by his ministry? Yeah. Well, you don't have to give him a hand. Come on, I don't want his head to get too big. But that's why we do special days. That's why we talk about different things that might interest others, and they may not interest you. Well, I hope today, February being the month of love, that you would be interested in today's topic. Now, even if you are looking for love, this is something that you should be listening to. If you found love, this is something that you should be listening to. If you regret love, this is something that you should be listening to. But it's kind of interesting. And I've always thought, well, why in the world did we pick February? And my only conclusion to come into this idea of February, maybe there's more behind it, but I think it's because we're just recovering from the money we spent at Christmas. And I'm being honest. And I think the market said, you know what, we need to make people feel guilty about love, and they should buy something to prove their love to those who are special in their life. Now, I don't have this problem because there's no pressure, because if you ask Allison, she would tell you that every day is Valentine's Day in our home, right? That again, I don't need a special day to tell me that I should be loving the people in my life. So I do my best to love my kids. I do my best to love my wife all year long. And you know what? I think those encouragements and those compliments, they shouldn't wait till February. Amen? They really should come all the time. And sometimes we take those who we love or who are closest to us for granted. And that makes me sad because, you know, love is a very important thing. In fact, love is important to the world. It's important to mankind. I was remembering this story about Norm. And nothing gets people talking like love. Well, Norm was the kind of the local handyman. He would go and he would help people out in their homes if something was going wrong. Well, anyway, his wife, Sue, met him at the door one day. And she looked very concerned. And Norm says, "What's wrong with you?" And she says, "Well, old lady Marjorie is talking about you and Edith this morning." And he says, "Me and Edith? What in the world is she talking about us for?" She says, "Well, last night, when you went over there to deal with the leak in her basement, I guess Marjorie saw your truck there late that night. And so this morning, she started calling the neighbors. And she was really upset." Well, Norm was unfazed by this at all. Norm just kind of said, "Okay, I'll deal with it." Late that night, he grabs his jacket and he grabs his keys. And he looks over and he says, "You know what, Sue, you need to come with me." She says, "Where in the world are you going this late at night?" He says, "I need a drive back." And she said, "A drive back?" He said, "Yeah." He says, "It's late enough now. Marjorie should be asleep. I'm going to park my truck in her driveway overnight. I'm going to need you to drive me home." And, you know, nothing gets people talking like this thought of love. It's kind of interesting. For me, I always kind of like to look at stats and statistical things. And so Stats Canada has some peculiar things. You know when they give you that portion of the census and you got to fill it all out, or they threaten law and all that sort of stuff? Sometimes I fill it out. Sometimes I have fun with it, which I'm not saying you should do that. But you could really make some funny statistics. I like to do it sometimes just to see if they'll put my statistic in, right? It's probably the only one with some of the answers I give, but it's kind of funny. But anyway, Valentine's Day, in 2017, this kind of boggled my mind. There was $6.5 billion, think about this. This is in Canada. This boggled my mind. $6.5 billion spent in fine jewelry and watches. That I was really surprised. $5.1 billion spent on cosmetics and fragrances on Valentine's. That blew my mind. And then again, this one kind of gave me a grin, but $2.1 billion on women's lingerie. And I got to went, wow, Canadians spend money when it comes to this month. They spend money on this idea of love. And retailers, they love it. And while we seem to focus on romantic love, maybe you are here and you're not having some romance in your life. I want you to know that love is something that is vital to all of us, and not necessarily just the romantic kind. You know, Cal and I were talking the other day about how man shouldn't be left alone. In fact, one of the oldest forms of torture is solitary confinement. That saying, and you've all heard it, no man is an island. Yet being isolated does something horrible to our system, right? Because we're made for interaction, we're made for relationship, and of course, healthy relationships, hopefully, but without that relationship, that we can be driven to madness. I was thinking this week about the Nashville bomber at Christmas. How many of you remember that story? He was a feller who ended up lacing his RV with explosives, homemade explosives. He went to the city of Nashville, right downtown, and he kind of had some messages playing over a loudspeaker, and he ended up blowing himself up. Well, over the coming weeks, because they didn't even know who he was, so the coming days they found out who he was. The next week they had kind of done some investigating, and some investigative reports came out where they said that this man, it didn't surprise me, but he was known as a recluse. Had neighbors all around him in his community, but he was a loner. And that didn't come to much surprise to me, because many of those sad stories start that way, where all of a sudden we see someone who is left to self, and again, we see depression, we see lies, we see thoughts that start to take root that shouldn't take root, and because they have no one to bounce those ideas or lies or paranoias off of, then all of a sudden it can ruin us. And it's not good for man to be alone. We've heard that, haven't we? Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And I wanted to really remind us today that we should cherish the love that we have. And you say, "Well, Pastor, I don't have love right now." Yes, you do. If you're a part of the church and you're part of the family of God, you have love. But what I get so sad with sometimes when I look at relationships, there's people who take them for granted. We need to cherish and invest in the love that we have in our life. And it comes down to that old saying, you know, when there's dueling appetites, you know, in your life, like there's two things that are fighting for supremacy. Well, who's going to win? And the old saying is, whichever one you feed. The healthy relationships that you have in your life, you should be cherishing them. You should be giving much attention to those relationships and never taking them for granted. And even when it comes to this idea of unity, that was the idea of the church. When you look at the early church and this vision that the disciples were giving, we were called the bride of Christ, and we're called to build one another, to lift one another. We just came through Romans, and how often did Paul call for unity? Romans 14:19. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. And those are just three that I picked out really quickly, but there are so many verses that is woven throughout Scripture where it calls for us to be in relationships that are healthy with one another, to be loving on one another, to be building one another up. And do you know that that's God's design for you? That without relationship, you will be less than God has designed. This study, I've quoted this study before. It was many years ago, but it's always haunted me ever since I read it. But Renee Splits was the professor. She went to South America, and there was an orphanage in a small town there. And yet this orphanage, there was orphans from all around the region that were brought to this tiny little place. And she went to do a study. Now, what's interesting is because it was a smaller town, yet so many people from the communities, the surrounding communities, seemed to use this place to bring the orphans. There was so few staff that the only thing they could do with the children that were put in this orphanage is they could tend to the basic needs. And so there was no extra cuddling. There was no extra play. We had to feed them. We had to change them. We had to get everything done. And so she did a study one year when she found this orphanage of 97 infants. a lot of kids for this particular orphanage, especially with the staff. So she did a study, and again, she was saying, okay, there's no time to hold these kids. When their cries happen, they go unheard. And she said after 3 months, she noticed the appetites in all of those infants were diminished, and so was their sleep. Charted, scientifically proven. After 5 months, she saw that the babies would actually cry when they were touched. And she said, this is crazy, as she recorded it. At year one, 27 of these babies had passed away for no apparent reason because all of them had their basic human needs met. 2 years in, 7 more had passed away. And by the time her study was done, out of the 97 infants, there was only 21 of them that lived. Renee Splits, she said, you know what? She said she concluded that touch and emotional connection are vital for infants. And I would say, Renee, take it a step further, because touch and emotional connection is vital for humans. Doesn't matter what your age. Never take those who are in your life for granted. We need each other. We need to guard the love that God brings us. And again, I'm not necessarily talking about the romantic love. However, that absolutely be guarding. We as believers need to build and encourage and to love. And when we do those things, that is when we look most like our God. When we're building and encouraging and loving, because that's what He does. And we need to stop taking for those for granted who God has brought. Because again, when we even look at that study, we should shudder to think that there is joy in the journey. And so many in this world will never experience that. Well, as believers, we should know there's joy in the journey. We should be loving one another and building one another and guarding those relationships, appreciating them and caring for them. I've said it for years that man left alone will self-destruct. Why? Because we need love. And again, why is mankind in such a mess? Because they're looking for love in all the wrong places. We need healthy relationships. And we need to invest in those even more so. Like, I know there's, you say, well, oh, you got to be there for so-and-so. Yes. But if you have relationships that are draining in your life and that is all you have, where you give, and there's no give back, you need to limit that. And you need to put healthy boundaries on that. And you need to be investing in your soul by getting around those people who God has brought to you that encourage you, lift you, and build you. You need to be doing those things. You know, and how do we give the best in our relationships and get the best out of our relationships? Well, the way we do that is we need to keep our first love first. And you say, what do I mean by that? Our first love first. 1 John 4:16. So we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. For us, life is linked with our connection to God, our physical, our emotion, our spiritual. It's all linked to this love that we should have for God. Why? Because God is love. If the world is looking for love, trust me, it's truth that the world is looking for God. You pull a fish from the water, and guess what happens? It dies. We see that in all of our species. If you take a species out of its habitat, what happens? It dies. That's why we spend so much every year on protecting the waterfowl, and we try to protect the rainforest and all of those things. Well, in that line of thought, you need to know that mankind was made for God. And when you're taken out of His presence, when you take Him out of the picture, you too will die. History shows us that. Like again, when I study the Bible, it just makes way too much sense to me. People will say, well, you know, you accept that on faith. Yes, but my faith is riddled with logic. Because as I study the Word of God, there is no holy scriptures in all of the world that have ever been written that make more sense than the Word of God, even the examples. That when the people of God followed Him and were close to His heart, things went well and blessings came upon them because God's laws were designed to protect, not to harm. So what happened when they forgot about their first love?
Well, they forgot about his commandments, they forgot about his laws, and they started doing whatever they wanted, and things went horribly wrong. Right? And I was thinking about that, like King David. David, God's blessing was upon David. As a boy, he's killing giants. Think of that. Like, that's amazing to me. I love that. I love David's life. I love David's life because it was so exciting, right? Like, every adventure, even when Saul was trying to hunt him and he was with his mighty men, go and study David and his mighty men, and you'll have a year of incredible stories of these incredible, courageous events that happened in David's life. And so we see God's hand upon David. It's kind of interesting. When did things go bad for David? When he took his eyes off of the Lord. Right? So even when he was being hunted by King Saul because of Saul's jealousy, it's amazing to me, things went really well for David. In fact, the Philistines gave him a whole city as he was a hired mercenary, a hired gun, right? And God looked after him when he remembered God. It was amazing. Even when he was fighting for his enemies, God was with him. When did things go bad? When he took his eyes off of God. When he focused on Bathsheba. How did that turn out? He ends up killing one of his very best friends, taking his wife and living a lie and losing a child. How about this other time? There was this time when David, it said he stood on the kingdom. Of course, the palace being one of the highest places. He stood on the kingdom and he surveyed his kingdom and he wanted a census because he was filled with pride at the beautiful kingdom that he had made. What was wrong with that statement? He hadn't made it. Follow that story. As soon as David got his eyes off of God, horrible things happened, and he went through horrible things. Is that a coincidence? No. And so David passes that truth on to Solomon on his deathbed. 1 Kings 2, verses 1 to 3, it says, when David's time to die was near, he told his son Solomon, I am going the way of all of the earth. So be strong, show yourself to be a man, do what the Lord your God tells you, walk in his ways, keep all of his laws and his word by what is written in the law of Moses. Then you will do well in all that you do and in every place you go. What was he saying again? I always sum it up this way. You remember God and God will remember you. You forget God, son, and you're going to live pain. That's what I'm trying to tell my kids. Like, Ella's getting ready to go, and I'm not ready for that. Ugh. Right? She's like, Dad, I'm going to be gone next year. And I just go, stop it. And then she giggles and goes upstairs, and I sit and cry. But I'm telling her, Ella, you better remember the Lord. Things will go way smoother when you remember the Lord. Because even when things have gone sideways, if he's by your side, there's nothing that you can't overcome. Mankind was made for love. God is love. Without him, we die. And it makes me sad when people miss out on the blessing of the Creator. You know, he longs to pour out good gifts upon his children, and so many miss it. It's our God-given human right to have the blessing of a divine Father, and so many people spit in the face of an almighty God. Luke 11:13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How could anybody live without the Heavenly Father in their life? I can't imagine that. But you see, that's the problem with mankind, right? That we're so focused on self, that we're so focused on being our own God, that we don't want to acknowledge the Almighty. And so our selfishness leads down roads that destroy, because why? We choose to be separate from God, and man without God is doomed. But once we have a glimpse, like think about your life. If you're here and you've been a believer for any amount of time at all, what brought you to saving grace? It was the understanding that you left alone are a mess. You don't know the way. Everything you do eventually turns to mud. You may have had some successes, but even those successes betray you, don't they? And then all of a sudden, as you start to understand that there is a God of mercy and grace who shines a light on the path in which we walk to show us what is right, you come to that realization, wow, I've been doing it wrong, and I want to do it his way. And you test that, right? That's what Christian faith is all about. And as you test it, you start to see that God is good and God is consistent and God is vital. R.C. Sproul put it this way. He said, men are never duly touched and impressed with a conviction of their insignificance until they have contrasted themselves with the majesty of God. That once we see God in all of his might, we realize how insignificant we are. Once we see God's plan in all of its light, we realize how off base we were. Once we see the strength and the love and the mercy that God pours and lavishes over us, we realize what we've been living without, don't we? So pretty soon, all of a sudden, we crave this love of an almighty God. And we respect that relationship. Like, I think of all of those warnings in Scripture, and again, they sound so horrible, but they're not. Right? Philippians 2:12, continue to work at your salvation with fear and trembling. That was the best day of my life. You say, fear and trembling? No, working out my salvation. Understanding how lost I was without him and how much of my life he could still salvage and put back together. That was the best day of my life. Luke 12, 4 and 5. Again, these sound so harsh. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you of whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. All those verses sound so scary, but what are they saying? They're saying this, keep your first love first. Invest in the one who loved you first. 1 John 14:9. We love because he first loved us. Romans 5:8. Then God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners and very enemies of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, while we were enemies, Christ died for us. And I never want to take him for granted. And I always want to keep working out my salvation. Because, you know, we think, oh, well, I'll never deny him. I bet you that's a Peter thought, too. You know, they've been going through The Chosen, and I've had some counseling sessions, some different things that took me to the church that night. And Allison's been joining in. I've been able to join in and see just a portion of one, and it was so well done. I really, really appreciated it. But I've been thinking of the disciples. You think that Peter, think about this. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when they come to arrest Jesus, what was his first response? And he slices off an ear. Ready to die for his Savior. Ready to die for his King, right? And Jesus says, dude, live by the sword, die by the sword. Don't do that. He picks up the ear. Right? And think about that guy. His night went from great to horrible to great again. Right? Like, my ear! Ah! Jesus picks it up and he goes, oh, wow. That's way better. Like, if they could hire Jesus in the UFC, like, he'd be the best cut man ever, if you know what I'm saying. I don't know if you saw the fight the other night. Overeem's face was not looking like it should have looked when it was done. Anyway, I just think of that story, right? That here is Peter who is ready to die, ready to die, ready to die for Jesus. And hours later, he would deny him. And not just once, but three times. One that was closest to him denied him, not because he wanted to. We need to continue always to work out our salvation. To keep our first love first. You know, what should our response be to that? I was thinking of that this week. How many of you ever played poker? It's not confessional, right? Again, I'm not saying how many of you have a gambling problem. That's another issue. Give me a call. We'll have a coffee, right? But if you've ever played poker, you understand this principle. Listen to this in Matthew 13. How do we keep our first love first? It says this. Matthew 13, starting to read at verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all that he had, and he bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he finds that one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, and he bought that pearl. You know, we need to be all in. For Jesus.
I've said this before, but I really want you to hear it today. When it comes to our first love, do you know that Jesus isn't looking for any part-time followers? He isn't. And yet the churches are full of them. Fair-weather Christians. Church isn't on the mind unless tragedy strikes. Then all of a sudden we want to be in the presence of brothers and sisters and want the counsel of a pastor. But other than that, we'll see if nothing else better comes along. People that never, ever ask for prayer, but then tragedy strikes, and guess what they want me to do? To pray. We need to be all in with our first love. That he loved you even when you were an enemy, and he made a way so that you could enter the holiest of holies, that you could come to the throne room of God Almighty. Are you kidding me? How could we ever take that love for granted? Without it, you die. You die. You die. Believers, remember that. To work out your salvation daily. Why? Because at any moment you could deny him, and many times you do. How in the world is that possible after all he's done for us? Oh, that we would be all in for Jesus. It would change everything. Everybody bow your heads. Whew. I'm not too long. Maybe you're here today and you've been taking God for granted. I don't understand that. I don't. If you need him, cry out to him. Maybe you've never done that before. Like, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, forgive me. Man, without him will die. They will perish. If you're here and maybe you've been walking, or you think you've been walking with the Lord for a long, long time, but you know there's been some shift, your focus has changed, and sometimes it's great things. Great things sometimes become the enemy of the best thing. Maybe you're investing in family, maybe you're investing in work, and I'm not saying those things are bad, but when they take the focus from God, yeah, they're an enemy. Maybe you need to refocus tonight and say, okay, I haven't been all in for God. I've been all in for whatever. And you need to confess that to an almighty God, and you need to move all in. The kingdom of heaven is like that treasure, and you sell it all so that you can have the thing that really matters. You can have that which is of most value. I hope that that's still your feeling of Christ. Don't you let life get in the way. Don't you forget your first love. You don't deserve him. I don't deserve him. Are you kidding me? Never forget what he has done. And maybe that relationship is going pretty smooth. Or maybe you know that relationship is not going smooth. Why? Because there are other relationships that you are taking for granted. There are those that you are mistreating, that you should be cherishing. There are those that you've been ignoring, that it would be good for you to make an appointment and get together. There are those that you've taken for granted. How dare us? We were made to love. We are at our best when we encourage, when we build up, when we invest in others. Why in the world would we ever let that go? Don't take the gifts God has brought into your life for granted. Because the next thing you know, they're gone. Cherish the love that God has brought your way, and then cherish him, for he is love. Father God, that's my prayer today. That we would cherish those who you've brought in our lives, Lord, whether it be, again, the family of God or even our spouse and our kids, Lord. There's so many things that we're missing. Help us to never take them for granted. But Lord, the only way that we can ever keep that on the that train on the rails is when we come to this place of loving you with all that we have. To be the best friends we can be, you need to be first. To be the best spouses that we can be, you need to be first. To be the best parents or grandparents that we can be, you still need to be first. You are the only one that we can focus on that keeps everything else in order. Father God, if things are out of order, then forgive us. But I pray that we'd be all in for Jesus. Lord, I think we always need to refocus. We need to always work out our salvation daily, daily, daily. Help us to get it right. Because, Lord, the alternative is disastrous. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.